the Hype Girls do Gilmore Girls special number two, I think is what we're calling it. We literally just had this conversation. I now can't remember. This is a Gilmore Girls special for season two of our favorite show, Gilmore Girls, from Hype Podcast. We are Hypeable.com's flagship entertainment podcast for all your TV and film and book news. We do a regular show every week, but every so often we take time out to talk about Gilmore Girls, because why not? I'm Marima, and I have with me the Hype Girls. That's Pam and Selena.
Yay!
Yay! So we are going to be talking about Gilmore Girls season two today. If you haven't heard our season one episode, it's a little difficult to find on the site right now, but we'll link to it on our Twitter so you can catch up on that. This show is going to be full of spoilers for a show that came out like a decade ago, so apologies for that. If you want to let us know what you thought about it, you can tweet us. We are at HyperbleHype. We are at HyperbleHype on Instagram. I don't think there's anything Gilmore Girls related there, but if you want to check it out. Or you can send us an email, hype@hyperbole.com. And of course, you can leave a comment on this post on hyperbole.com. Whew. So, Gilmore Girls, season two, how are we feeling? Selena is our newbie. You still on board this train?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've sort of made it very, very public on Hype that it's been a long time since I've seen this season. So if I misremember anything, I'm sorry. But yeah, absolutely. I thought that season two was really fun there. I have some frustrations that have nothing to do with the quality of the show and everything to do with me being very personally invested in the happiness of these people, which I think is a good thing. I think the show is really, really great, and it's been very, very hard for me not to continue watching season three.
Yeah, that's mostly my fault. I think I've been the one holding everyone up, so I think I've said that on Hype as well. I apologize, team. But now Selena can finally watch season three, and we'll try
Yay!
and get to our season three special maybe in less than 2 months' time. That would be an admirable kind of goal, perhaps.
Yeah,
We'll see
let's
how we
do
go.
it. We won't make any promises though, because I feel like whenever we make promises, it never turns out well. But we
So
always have the
true.
best intentions.
Yes, guys, trust us when we say we would like to talk about Gilmore Girls all day, but unfortunately, life and regular Hype
Yeah, and regular
sometimes
chats
gets in the way.
get in the way.
Yes. Yes, regular conversations. It's very easy to be derailed. Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing about your frustrations, I guess, your emotionally invested frustrations. Pam, as the rewatcher, my fellow rewatcher, like, I remember when we were watching season one, I think we both realized, oh God, we identify so much more with Lorelai than with Rory now. Did you have any other like moments when you're watching this that you thought, oh, that was different from the first time?
I think that this time around, and we're going to get deeper into this, but because you do bring in pretty much the only boy option as far as we're all concerned, Jess, I think I noticed Dean's pigheadedness a little bit more than I did the first time
Oh my
around,
God,
like when I
yes.
was younger. And that's something that, like, again, when you're young and naive, or maybe when I was young and naive, I don't want to speak for everybody. Like, it made sense why he was so frustrated by Jess, but now that I'm older, I'm just like, this is stupid, because I think to myself, well, if I were Rory and I was just like low-key intrigued but would never cheat on my boyfriend, then why would my boyfriend be so ridiculous about it? Like, he needs to, let me fly away butterfly for a bit and then I'd come back and there would be no problems. So
Yeah. Well, let's start there, 'cause I mean, we've definitely talked on Hype about how we are Team Jess, at least Pam and I. Selena has agreed, even though she had never seen the show,
I have
because
no
she knows what's
choice,
good for her. She knows
guys.
what's good for her, so she agreed. But yeah, like we meet Jess in season two. I don't know, Selena, like did he meet up with your expectations? Had we talked him up a little too much, or do you think he was kind of a punk? Like, what was your thoughts on Jess?
Yeah, I just didn't like him. I'm totally
Get
kidding, guys.
up.
No, I did, to be honest with you, like what I really sort of have been impressed by with Gilmore Girls is how sort of real and nuanced and quirky is this
you know, cliche word to use, but I feel like that's the right word to use all of these characters are, because I was definitely expecting a Jess that was a lot more clear-cut than he is. You know, like he was a lot of things straight away, and not all of them, not many of them good, but I think that sort of was what he was there to be. And I know, like, a lot of people sort of feel like Jess is like too mean or too much of a, like, a pretend bad boy, but I thought it was a great change for him to come to Stars Hollow, and I thought his and Rory's relationship intrigued me immediately. I thought he was super rude, but, like, that's his character, and he runs around stealing things, okay, like, that's fair, but I feel like the progression he goes through over the season and the stuff that Rory brings out in him and what he brings out in her, I enjoy it a lot, and I feel like it was necessary for the show at the time. And by the time we got to the finale, by the time we got to season 3, I was like, okay, when are they gonna I'm very impatient when it comes to the ships on the show, to my annoyance, but
you have chosen the wrong show.
I know. Well, I do, basically. I'm not gonna talk all day about him, but I'm very, very impressed and very intrigued, and I think he's a great addition to the show. And I am absolutely Team Jess, having watched only 2 seasons and having only Dean to compare him to. But
yes, Jess.
Do you know what, though? I honestly, like, I think I'm Team Jess because of some things that happen later in the series, mm-hmm. not necessarily because of what we see in season 2. I'm just going to put that out there.
No, he's awful, like, in the first. Yeah, I feel like totally. You know from the beginning that he's going to go through a journey, and you're sort of already,
because
you know how the story's kind of, you know, don't know how it's going to go, but you know, like, the beats and stuff. So you're like, okay, well, he comes in as a bad boy. I can't wait to see him grow, and I can't wait to see him sort of, him and Rory sort of go get on the same level. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's like a bear with a thorn in his paw at the beginning. And I think that you understand why he is the way he is, you know, eventually. But yeah, he's definitely, I think, but I understand why Rory is intrigued by him, because she's like this, you know, she's just seen one thing her whole life, and here he is, and he's like mysterious and different, and he's like intellectual, and he challenges it. Yeah. Challenges her mentally in a way that, like, nobody, not even anybody at Chilton, does, and I see the attractiveness of that. And she also wants to see the good in everybody, so
yeah, that's true as well. I just want to ask you guys if you had the same impression. I mean, you probably did, because I'm like watching this way too late and having no original thoughts, but that Jess was sort of brought in to be like, I feel like he was brought in both to be like Dean was supposed to be, but also obviously what what's-his-face, Chad Michael Murray's character was supposed to be, Tristan.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, first of all, I remember when Dean was first introduced, it was with the same book angle, you know, of them exchanging literature. But with Tristan, we had that same sort of bad boy, kind of insults her, but we know he really likes her. And I always sort of wonder with Tristan if they weren't flirting with a romance between them that just didn't take off. And then they brought in maybe. Jess instead.
Yeah, I actually don't know. That's a really good point. I think, Dean, like, very quickly became, like, the sort of good guy, first love kind of type. Even though when he's introduced as sort of, like, it's kind of like the angel, like, skulker in the background in the leather jacket.
Yeah, like, there's an edge to him that right. is, I think, what Jess gets, and then Dean just has nothing.
Yeah, and, you know, I think actually what they do in season 2, I have to say, I was actually just listening back to our first special to remind myself of what we talked about, because it's been a while, and none of us were, like, big fans of Dean, but I do think they improved Dean a little in this, like, they kind of lost that really creepy vibe to him, while like, maintaining that kind of... like, that immaturity. I mean, they're all so immature. That's the thing that struck me the most watching this. Jess and Rory and Dean, all of them. Dean is immature in the way that he is so possessive and so intimidated and kind of threatened by Jess in the way that, like you said, Pam, he really has no reason to be at the start. Like, Rory's kind of intrigued, but nothing's happening there. And then Jess obviously is incredibly immature in like the way that he is going about life for reasons that we can understand, like given his family background, but still. And then Rory at the same time, for like not understanding that what she's doing is like A, motivated by her interest in Jess, and also recognizing how that would affect Dean. So I think the three of them, like, but in a way that is very realistic for like 16-year-olds.
Exactly. You know? Because this is something that would happen at that age. So
and does it, happen. Totally happens.
Exactly, and does happen. But for us watching it back, it's like, well, obviously you can see here that
right.
you have trivial situations going on.
But I love that, yeah. though, and I think we were just talking about that on Rewatchable because we're watching season 3 of Buffy, and we're doing that they're going through the whole Willow Xander thing. And I know, like, some of the other hosts are like, you know, how dare they? And I'm like, but that's what would totally happen in real life. And I feel like that's the same here, is that this kind of messy, Rory doesn't know what she wants. Rory doesn't behave perfectly, you know. And certainly Jess and Dean are, as you say, very immature, and they're floundering about. And there's all these expectations, and everyone seems to assume Rory has to be with Dean because he's quote unquote perfect. And I love it. I love
quote unquote
the messiness.
Boring.
I know. I love the messiness of it. I love the uncertainty of all of them in what they want to be because they're 16. They don't know.
So the interesting thing is though, is that like, I think people forget that like people didn't like the town didn't necessarily love Dean when he first came in. Although yeah. I mean, Dean became an upstanding member of society, got a job at Dosey's Market, all that stuff, and just started stealing things. But I mean, like, do you think that that's a byproduct of the fact that the town never really gave him a chance in the first place? So like, why would he, you know, care to make
yeah,
a better impression?
Just doesn't give a crap, you know.
Yeah, and you see it with the car crash, you know, and Rory has that blow up because she thinks everyone's. I actually love that scene. I totally forgot that scene was in there, but when she's saying, like, basically, don't take my agency away from me. I made a decision to get in this car. Like, I made a decision to keep driving. It's mm-hmm. not all of his responsibility. He didn't manipulate me into doing this. He didn't, you know, trick me or whatever. Like, I'm a, not grown, but I'm a vaguely adult, young adult woman who can take responsibility for my own decisions and the consequences of those. And you just get the sense that, like, it would just never have crossed anyone's mind in that town to think that Rory had anything to do with that, you know?
Right.
Because they have already assumed that it's all Jess's fault, and, like, everything is Jess's fault, and he's, like, a disaster, and, you know, no one except Rory seems to know that he's actually really intelligent and, like, has all this other stuff going on because he just acts that delinquent role that people have kind of put him in.
Yeah. You're right.
Although, you know, he definitely contributes to that. Like, he could be like, hey guys, I've got other stuff, but you know, you get the sense that he kind of enjoys playing up that.
Yeah, exactly. It's so realistic. This 16-year-old neglected boy whose mother doesn't even want him, who's from like this huge city where he blends into the crowd, suddenly he's the spotlight is on him in this tiny town, and he's like, great, let me act out.
Yeah, and at the start, you know, it's understandable that he doesn't want to be there, and mm-hmm. that makes sense. The way he goes about it is, like I think you said, Selena, he's so rude at the start and so whatever. But at the same time, you know, Lorelai has a tendency, I think, that we start to see in this through her relationship with Jess, and we will see it like throughout the series, where she kind of gets those, oh, well, I have a kid, so therefore I know the way to interact with like every person younger than me. Mm-hmm. You know, because she's so like chill and cool, but you know, she also lucked out with Rory. Mm-hmm. So she just assumes that her way to go about things is the right way. And, you know, Luke is obviously a bit out of his depth, but at the same time, he's like, you know, don't tell me how to go about this. Like, oh, you're such an expert because you have Rory, this like amazing, like wonder kid. And I feel like there's something to that as well. You know, she's very familiar when she first interacts with Jess, and he's very much out of his comfort zone. So you can understand why he responds in the way that he does, mm-hmm. even if it's not a great, like, it's not a positive response, but it's an understandable one.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, too, because, I was just going to say, it's interesting because Lorelai also did not have the best relationship with her parents.
Right.
So you would think that she might understand why he's so ho-hum all the time. And instead she kind of just like it, like at the first sign of trouble, I think what is surprising is that she just kind of says, nope, you're not good for my kid, so bye. And I get why, because like Rory is so straight and narrow that she was even worried about Dean at the beginning. So I would understand why she would be worried about anybody messing with the dynamic or messing with kind of the way her daughter is. But it is interesting considering that Lorelai's supposed to be the cool mom. So you would think that she would give more chances, I guess.
Yeah, you think you would know what happens when you try to restrict your daughter. Like, instead of thinking of Jess as Christopher, she should think of Rory as herself and think, what did she do when her parents tried to control her life, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that's such a good point. She definitely thinks of like anyone who comes into Rory's life as Christopher, like as the disruptive influence, who again, you know, Rory wouldn't be able to control herself or kind of make good decisions or whatever, because she made a decision that she regrets at times. Or, you know, I think Lorelai is so interesting because she, like we talked about last time, she has this desire to be like cool and go with the flow and whatever, but as soon as anything happens, you just see that anxiety that's like underneath all the time, that the same thing is going to happen, that something's going to go wrong again. And like, not that she is living through Rory, but she obviously has high hopes for what Rory can achieve. And she's like so worried that anything is going to threaten that.
You know? Oh my God. Yeah. I was thinking, like, I really hope, and this is maybe like should be in my predictions, but I really hope there's another teen pregnancy on the show. Like not Rory, but like one of the other ones, like Paris or what's her face? Lane or something like that. Like just to get that parallel of situations.
Yes, we'll add it to your predictions.
Yes, and if it doesn't happen, I'll just write a fanfic about it.
Yeah, I'll read that.
My first fanfic, Gilmore Girls. I'm jumping into it, guys.
I mean, this is time for everything. Yeah. Something else I want to talk about with Jess, which I think is just as equally as important and as interesting as what's happening with him and Rory and Dean, is Jess and Luke have such an interesting relationship.
I did not, guys, that was such a surprise to me. I had no idea that was how he was gonna be introduced. Like,
really?
Because I knew, yeah, like I had no idea. Like, I knew what Jess looked like from pictures, obviously. And in the beginning of the season, when Luke is like, oh, my cousin, my nephew is arriving, and like blah blah blah, and I was like doing something else, and then he stepped up the bus, and I was just like, oh my God.
Oh wow.
It was like the hugest surprise.
I totally, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, I guess. It's just one of those things that you're like, oh yeah, and he's like Luke's nephew, and that's fine. I mean, I think, you know, they're very similar, but I think they have a very interesting relationship, and there are a couple moments in this season that it really stands out to me, especially right after the car accident, when he's really worried because he can't find Jess and he has to go and find him. And then, you know, he sits down and Jess says, you know, I made sure that Rory was okay, I waited and made sure she was okay after she's been in the hospital. And you just see this look on Luke's face, and he's like, yeah, I know you did. And it's just, yeah, like, I don't know. It's really complicated. And then right at the end, when he wants to come back, and even though he and Luke kind of have this sort of truce, they've kind of reached a truce of, like, living together and stuff, and he supports Jess, and, you know, he obviously looks out for Jess even when the rest of the town is not, but he's still like, why do you want to come back here? Like, why? You hate it here. Why do you want to do this? And he's, you know, he's not so sure about it. And I like the kind of fluctuations in their relationship a lot. I find them really, really interesting. But yeah, seeing as you didn't even know he was his nephew, I would be interested to see what you thought, Selena.
I thought it was so great. I mean, it does have that little bit of a like a family show kind of the kids date, so the parents have to date kind of trope thing about it.
It's very Gossip Girl.
But I know, I thought it was a really good twist. I really enjoyed that, also because it adds some depth to Luke, you know, gives him another bigger world in the show. And I enjoy seeing, like, that's kind of like one of the things I enjoy seeing, Luke's loyalties shift all the time. And he, because he is, you know, when it's Dean, Luke is like 100% on Team Rory and is like, you know, it has those amazing moments when he's like treats her like he's her father, which I think is so cute. But then comes Jess, and he's suddenly like, "Well, that's my family. Like now I have to maybe be on Jess's side, even though Jess is clearly the bad here." You know, like it's so interesting mm-hmm. for him. And I honestly like that final when Jess comes back. Like I know obviously it's like, oh, he comes back for Rory, but I feel like he also comes back for Luke. And I really enjoy the two of them. I hope that we get more of them bonding, you know?
Yeah. I really enjoy their relationship a lot. Did you want to say anything else, Pam, about Jess? Or we should probably talk about just, you know, literally anyone else that was in this season.
I think this
turns into Jess hype.
The Jess special.
To be fair, it's very important to bring him up, especially since this is, you know, the first time. But we should move on. You're right.
Okay. Well, I guess let's talk about Lorelai for a bit. So first of all, Max and Lorelai over.
Who?
Yeah. Remember him? Remember Max? Season two does have one of my favorite Stars Hollow events, which is the engagement party that they have where they like wearing the crowns and they're in the gazebo and it's all like so cute. And this little brides dancing who are like five years old and anyway, but aside from that, did we gain anything from the Max relationship? Did anyone care that this is not a thing?
I think the only thing we learned is that Lorelai fears commitment. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it.
I mean, she basically went and chatted up Luke at her engagement party, so
I know. It's like, I don't know. I'm glad that it ended so soon because you knew it was going to end. So I was just kind of, it was kind of like with Dean, you know, and Rory. I'm like, okay, but now Jess is here. Can we just, and I feel like that's the same thing. And I think that's true. Like she got out of there real fast. And I love that scene of them at the inn, towards the beginning of the season two, when they went to visit, the school. What's it called? Cambridge, Oxford, what is it?
Harvard.
That's the one. I think it's, I'm glad it's over. And I think it, I feel bad for him. Like that episode where we saw him come back, I was like, oh, Max.
I do feel bad for him. I think,
but he did not fit into their life.
No. And also I think, you know, there was a scene when they're kind of fighting about like where they're going to live and like what's going to happen and, you know, and he's trying to sort of fit into their lives, like you said, and she's not really making space for him. And she's like, you don't have to worry about Rory. Like, Rory's done. Rory's good. And he's like, okay, but like, wait, what do you mean? Like, I'm going to be a stepdad, you know? And you just get the scene in that she's kind of like a child playing make-believe at being an adult, like a child pretending to play at being a grown-up without really understanding what it is that she is about to do, because she just obviously hasn't thought it through in the slightest, and it's all just like the sort of romance and very surface level stuff. And then once you get to anything about her having to like compromise or, you know, share or change anything, then she's not willing to go along with it. But
do you think that maybe is because she, like, obviously she had to grow up so fast, but because she never really had the chance to transition from, you know, childhood basically to adulthood, that maybe she is kind of childish in some of her mannerisms that way?
Yeah, I totally think that's it. And I also think you get the sense that she still feels this sort of nostalgia of things that she missed out on. And like when Rory has her coming out ball and she's, you know, thinks it's going to be terrible and everything. And Rory's like, no, like, I'll do that. That's fine. And then she's like, oh, like, because she never did that. And yeah, I think there is like this kind of key transition period that you have around sort of 17, 18, 19 even, that she obviously did not have. And so all of her relationships and all of her interactions, and also remembering like the last serious relationship she had was with her high school boyfriend who got her pregnant. Mm. So, you know, that's the benchmark that she's basing things off. Like, when you're in high school, you say things like, oh yeah, we're going to like run away together and we're going to do this together and whatever. You don't actually have to think it through. You don't have to actually plan out how that will work. You can kind of make these grand statements without any, you know, like repercussions of how that actually might work. And then she never had the chance to actually see how that would play out in a relationship, because then she had Rory. So I totally think that's what it is. But I like the moments where they kind of flip it around and Lorelai is the less mature one and Rory is the one who like has her shit together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but so the twist in the season, right, is that she breaks up with Max and then Luke is not the person whose arms she runs to. It's Christopher. Selena, not a fan.
No.
What do you think of Christopher? Tell us.
I think I'm like very careful because I know that you guys like him, but
no, just be Selena. Just be yourself. It's okay. It's a safe space.
Just let it out. Yeah. I feel like with Christopher, and this is another way where the show just gets so real that it's almost too real, is that I think we talked a little bit about last year when we talked about season one, that like I sort of really identified with the Lorelai and Rory relationship because like I grew up with my mom and all of that, and Christopher is like almost my father, like literally almost the same, except he never did come back. But like I was gonna give you a brief summary of my life, is like they got pregnant and they weren't really dating, and then he was like, oh, I don't really know, I'm kind of too old to have a kid, and then she was like, no, but I'm gonna have the kid, and then she had me, and then he like didn't really want to be involved, and then he just like, we were in another part of the country and he didn't really do much, and she raised me by herself, and I'm like, okay, that's great, girl power. And like if he had come back like after being gone and everyone was like, Christopher is the good one, you know, like, or the, like, he's the one that has his life together. Like, yeah, but he didn't have to raise the kid. Like, he did nothing. I'm so personally invested in this, and I'm so, like, have such a personal grudge against Christopher, because I'm like, he literally went away to another state. He could have been there. Now he comes back and tries to be all perfect and tries to be all, oh, Lorelai, blah, blah, blah. And it's not even Christopher. It's like the other people are like, oh, Lorelai, like, you don't deserve Christopher. Like, I think it was Emily or someone who said that. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I got but so don't you mad.
Think, like, isn't that exactly the point? Like, no one else is saying, oh, you should be back with Christopher, except for her parents.
Yeah, have said this, but, like, Lorelai, you can see life. That she, like, kind of believes it. And then they, like, kind of want to get back together. And I'm like, after everything, like, then that's just going to work out. I was like, no way. But then, obviously, it didn't. So,
no.
I'm fine now. But I was in a dark place.
Oh, well, that's, I mean, that totally, that 100% makes sense. Pam, what do you think about Christopher? I don't really know. I don't want to, like, spoil any potential future relationships or not. So, I don't want to ask Pam who her, like, ultimate ship is. Of Lorelai. But well, where does Christopher rank? Like, how do you feel about them together?
So it's a weird dichotomy for me because obviously, like, you know, I think, well, if we're going to go into like family history, my parents have been divorced since I was like 5 years old. So I only ever saw my dad every other weekend. Even then, it's like, you know, when you're younger, it's like you only see somebody for 2 days and then your mom picks you up or whatever. It's not a lot of time. So I think that like my dad was kind of like a Christopher in the sense that he was really fun, and we saw him when fun things were happening. And you know, my mom tried to make sure that like he wasn't always buying us things, because then she was like, no, you know, like you don't want like your kid to associate with that. I want you to be like a parent, which we really appreciated. I'm no longer as close to my dad as I was before, unfortunately, but I do think that watching it in high school, watching this in like middle school, I think even if your parents are divorced or whatever, you always kind of think like, oh, what would it be like if they got back together? Like maybe that would be nice, because I don't have any memories of my parents together because I was just too young, and my brother was even younger than me. So as a young child, you see something like this and you think like, oh, I understand why Rory would want this, would be okay with this, because suddenly she would have a full, complete family, and that would be nice. But watching it now, it's like you can see that the relationship is toxic, and they're really kind of like, I don't doubt that there is chemistry, but I also, you can tell that they really only gravitate towards each other because both of them are comfortable with each other. And they just, you know, it seems like the right idea because they are so comfortable because they've known each other for so long. But if they had like come up for air, you know, before any of this happened, they probably would have realized that it was never going to work, because they're in two completely different places. And that's not bad. It's just not, it doesn't make for a great home life anyway, so.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna out myself. I totally ship them. Like, I don't ship them in that I want them to be together. I do it in the sense that, like, I buy their relationship the most. You know, definitely of all of the possibilities that we've seen, so Lorelai and Max, and whatever's happening with her and Luke, and her and Christopher, like, her and Christopher is the one that I'm like, yes, that is, that, I believe that. And I think it totally is that history thing, and I think it's, you know, I mean, apparently this is the biographical episode, but, like, I totally understand that thing of you have a relationship with someone when you're younger, and you just kind of fall back into those habits, you know, when you're around them, of, like, acting the way that you did, and everything, you have that history, and suddenly everything seems, like, so much more important, and everything's so, like, I don't know, fated or whatever, which, of course, it isn't, and it's just, like, habit, really, but the way that they present that in this season, I buy it, and I don't know if, I don't, I'm not saying it's, like, a healthy relationship, I'm not saying it would work out, but it's the one that I'm like, yeah, I can see that happening, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but they're just, like, they are lucky that they are still similar after so many years have passed, because, like, for example, I went to my high school reunion, and I ran into, you know, people I used to be friends with or whatever, and there is that sense of, like, I hadn't talked to any of these people in 10 years, but you still, like you said, you feel comfortable, even though you've grown, and you think you have a lot of things in common, because you have so much of your life in common, like that's like 18 years that you all spent together if you come from a small town like I do. So they will know things about you automatically that like nobody will ever know unless you tell them. And that is comforting, but it's also like when you strip that away, most people don't have anything in common except for that anymore. And I think just like Christopher and Lorelai are just like, they're just lucky that they're like, because they had this kid and because like Christopher ran off and like, you know, just like, never took life seriously, and Lorelai is missing those pivotal years where she was allowed to grow into, you know, an actual adult, which is why, you know, she missed out on a lot of stuff. And so I think that that's why they still are very youthful and they're still very similar. But if they had grown organically, like more like actual adults do that don't have these problems, I feel like maybe they would be in different places and they wouldn't have even been in the position to say like, hey, like, we ran into each other and now we're going to get married. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. But I think what I like about it is just how complicated it is. You know, I like that she kind of has the realization of, you know, because when her and Max don't work out, I guess it's kind of implied in that episode that it's because of Luke. You know, because Luke is the one that she's... I know, that was
very confusing to me.
Yeah?
I know how you guys feel about that, but it's very confusing to me where, like, I know, like, that's part of her character, but Lorelai's feelings just kind of shift back and forth, and I kind of feel like they maybe jumped the gun with Luke and Lorelai a little bit because they want to establish that as a will they, won't they, but the fact that they almost get together like 5 times and by the end she's like, oh, Christopher, like, I feel like that's very inconsistent. I almost felt like I wanted them to be more subtle with the Luke
thing. She is inconsistent, right? Like, that
I guess
I mean, do you think, like, my sense of watching it at the moment is like she doesn't really know how she feels about Luke.
That's exactly how I feel most of the time.
But there are moments when I'm definitely like, okay, now they've like crossed another line in their relationship, and then by the next episode they're just like back.
I guess because, you know, at the moment I would characterize their friendship as like, I guess, being best friends, like not in the way that she and Suki are, but you know, you can have more than one best friend. And I feel like Luke is more conscious of wanting that to be like romantic. Oh, he's for sure in love with her,
like,
yeah, and I think he knows it too.
And you know what, that breaks my heart though. It absolutely, like, because he's just waiting there, and she's like...
I'll get a clue. He could ask her out.
Like, I know, he's not doing anything about it. Because, like, how is he supposed to know? She acts like that with everybody, so that you're just there, and if you're Luke, you think, like, does she really like me, or is she like, really making me feel special, or is that just the way she is with everyone?
Yeah, like, with the bird, like, that moment with just, the bird was amazing.
Yeah, like, and then, like, isn't it when she gets together with, like, when Max proposes, or what... When Max proposes or whatever, she says, like, he goes, oh, yeah, I figured. And like, you just see how he's, like, so sad about it. That hurts, you guys. It just makes me so sad. Yeah.
But, I mean, isn't the story of Gilmore Girls that we've seen so far, at least the story of, like, just Lorelai encountering men and making them like fall in love with her and then being flighty and like disappearing and these guys just like pinning everything on her. Like,
oh yeah,
she's obviously like Christopher. I mean, yes, I 100% agree with what you're saying, Pam, about they really haven't matured enough to like find out if they could work as adults in a relationship. But part of that is the fact that like Christopher has not moved on from her. Like, she is his forever girl. You know, he very obviously has thought for many years that like eventually they would get back together. And then she has her moment in this season where she's like, you know, I guess I kind of thought that too. And then I like that he gets mad about that. You know, I like that he's like, well, you know what? I'm in a relationship with someone else. Like, that's not fair to pin that on me. But it does explain why coming into this in season one and Rory's 16, like why she hasn't had a serious relationship until now. Like, it does do some work to explaining that.
But then
Max, mm-hmm. like Max is obviously so will do anything basically. And then like Luke will just do anything. So it's like, I mean, she's great, but like, what is it about this woman that every guy that she encounters is like, well, she's the one for me. And that's it. I'll just suffer in silence now until that becomes an eventuality. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a really good point. I think that's very, very true about her. And again, it's sort of, they really commit to these sort of nuances that you don't see in a lot of other TV characters. I really appreciate that. And I will just say, like, for until the season finale, when I genuinely got super pissed, like, it's not that I don't like Christopher at all. It's just every time it feels like the narrative is quote unquote forgiving him or on his side, I get very mad. But like, whenever it's not like that, I think he's fine. And mm-hmm. I understand the relationship between Lorelai and Christopher. I just detest the idea that she's sort of obliged to wait for him or to pick him or to want him and all those things, you know? And then in the finale, I got super pissed, but I guess we'll get there.
I mean, like, do you want to talk about it now? You may as well.
Okay.
You want to stay on Christopher before we move on?
Yeah. No, just because I have this problem with a lot of TV shows where I feel like if the show is going to commit to a relationship, like, it has to be the character's first choice. Like, I know I was just watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the whole Fitzsimmons thing really bothered me, not because I don't like the relationship, but because I feel like Simmons never chose him. Like, all her other options were just taken away. And so I'm kind of like wary of that with Luke and Lorelai, because it was so clear that Lorelai was ready to choose Christopher. And like, who knows how long that was going to last. But the thing that breaks them up is Christopher's, whoops, I'm going to have another kid now. See you later. And it was like that. And his reaction to that, like after committing to Lorelai and being like, oh yeah, we're totally done. Like that, we're on a break with that other lady. And then,
okay, you know, Ross. All
right. Well, yeah, but that's what it felt like, you know. And then I felt like that it sort of, it was too convenient of a way to end them. So that annoyed me a little bit.
It was, but I feel like it was almost like, because we've already established that both of them are still kind of children, it makes sense mm-hmm. that Christopher was running away from his problems, and like, who better to run away with than
but I the wanted her that... to have a chance to mm-hmm. not choose him, you know, as opposed to it being decided for her.
Right. And it's just like, it was just awful though. That is, it's like one of the saddest moments in the whole series for sure.
Yeah, and also because you get that moment right before when her and Emily sort of bond, because she's like, Christopher is going to be around a bit more, and you can just see they're both really happy. And whether or not you think that they should be, or whether you think that's a good decision or not, like, it is a rare united Gilmore moment of Rory and Lorelai and Emily all being on the same page about something being a good thing, and then to see that breakdown. And you know, I mean, you just know watching that, like, whose fault are they going to think that is? Because they're so, Emily and Richard are so on Christopher's side. They think that, you know, like, Lorelai got herself pregnant. Like, how do you think that happened?
That's the whole thing. Because I think about, like my family, which is very old-fashioned. Like, if it had been me, they would have been like, oh, it's not your fault, dear. Like, it's okay. Or they would have at least said it takes two to tango.
Right. But
they are all, like, on Team Christopher, and that is, and, like, I understand why, you know, just from that, that Lorelai would have so much resentment. But I am also shocked that she's never resented Christopher for being so mm-hmm. beloved, for being mm-hmm. the favorite.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And we're but just getting think, to like, go away.
Do you think part of her, part of what draws her back to him is maybe feeling like that would sort of please, like, you know, she's always drawn between this thing of, oh, she wants to go against what everything her parents stand for, but at the same time, she does want to please them. Like, she does want their approval. Do you think that's part of it? You know, and Rory, of course, as well. Like, obviously, like you said, Pam, every kid would think about, oh, just imagine if they got back together and then we were a family again. And then, you know, she could still be her kind of wacky, like, unique self. But if she was with Christopher, that would make that okay in the eyes of her parents, you know? Like, it's not, that's messed up. That's not okay. But don't you think, like, she could be her sort of weird self that her parents disapprove of, but if she was with Christopher, who they deem to be, like, this appropriate young man for her, then suddenly all of that stuff is okay.
Yeah, I think that that's, like, subconsciously, probably. I don't think that, and if it was conscious, I don't think Lorelai would ever admit to it, because no. she's so anti. But you're right, because, I mean, like, look at Emily. Emily was pretty much, like, she got married, she's a housewife, and that's fine. She handles the estate. But you're right, because Christopher, if they had gotten married, he would have gone to work at Richard's firm, and he would have been a businessman, and they would have just made appearances. She would have married into the right family. They would have inherited money, and, like, everything would have been swept under the rug.
Right. And even if they got back together now, it would be like, okay, well, it's like a happy ending. There was some trouble for a while, but now it's all fine. And now we can pretend like none of that ever happened.
Right. And but it would probably still be the same. Like, I'm sure Richard would offer mm-hmm. him a position at the firm. And they
yeah.
Would
yeah. They'd be like, okay, great. So let's go back to our plan of 16 years ago and put that in place.
Well, although Strobin, what's her face?
Strobin,
I want to say Strobin Diana, but I don't think it's Strobin.
No,
Diana.
It's something dumber than that.
Anyway, but Strobin,
like, old and rich.
And other grandparent, I feel like they still wouldn't approve anyway.
Oh my god, they were the worst.
They were
Francine.
Francine. That's right. Strobin, Francine. Oh god.
Like, they were just straight out comic book villains. Like, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, they're the worst.
They even looked it. They looked like, in my head, I'm actually envisioning like somebody else, but I know they're not that.
Yeah, they 100% are. Okay, Where else do we need to go with this? I guess while we're on the subject of rich family, etc., where are the Gilmores up to? Where is Lorelai up to with her parents? Have they made any progress, do you think, this season?
I feel like it's just a given, like it's a constant sort of gonna go back and forth with them. You know, I feel like similarly to what we were talking about with Luke and Lorelai going back and forth, I feel like there's so much about Lorelai and her parents' relationship that is like necessarily dynamic. You know, it's shifting back and forth all the time, two steps forward, two steps back with both of them. Not liking Richard so much this season.
No,
I feel like
annoying.
Yeah, I mean, there was a not really annoying, but just like there was one episode where he was gonna help Rory with her project, and he was basically like, "Nope, not gonna do that." And I was like, "What? But why?" Like that was just mean of him. And he was going through all that with his divorce and getting fired and what's it called? Going on retirement.
His retirement.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yay, English.
But yeah, I know. God, but no, and Emily, I loved her so much at points, and then there were times like with the whole Christopher thing when I was just like, no, you've come so far.
I mean I love Emily. Like, Emily's just so fascinating to me. The more of this I watch, the first time I watched it, I think I just kind of dismissed them out of hand as like not understanding and being out of touch and, you know, being ridiculous. And certainly that is accurate at moments, but then Kelly Bishop is so good, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, she is so, so good. And what was the one? Oh, when she finds out about Lorelai and Max's engagement, because I think Suki like phones.
Oh yeah.
And her and face just, in that when mm-hmm. she's like, my daughter got engaged and didn't think to tell me. And you know like there's so much history in that and you can understand both of their perspectives, but I think Emily is just such an interesting dynamic sort of character, and I really appreciated the moments in this when her and Lorelai were sort of a united front, because mm-hmm. it happens so rarely, like when Dean comes to dinner and Richard's like, hell no, and Emily is like, Rory brought this boy to dinner and like we are going to be nice to him, through gritted teeth and just desperate to try and, you know, make it work, because she just doesn't want to be rude, or, you know, she's happy to yell at her daughter in the middle of dinner, but she's not going to do that to like her granddaughter, and she wants to preserve that relationship. And all of the stuff with Lorelai and Max, I feel like was worth it for the kind of way that that played into her relationship with her mother.
Mm.
And like Emily planning Suki's wedding just after Lorelai's engagement's being called off, and all of that stuff, you know. I just felt like I don't care for Max particularly. He's fine, just sort of he's fine. I don't really care, but the way that that just tied into their relationship made it so much more important, like so much more impactful.
You know what I really like is Emily's relationship with Rory. You know, because like you're totally right. Like Emily and Lorelai have some absolutely fantastic moments, and I'm very invested in Emily. But there's so much bad blood there, and you can really, that really hurts to watch sometimes. But with Rory and Emily, it's a lot more hopeful, and she's like so much in her granddaughter's corner. Like also when it comes to Richard sort of dismissing her, you know, Emily's like, hell no, this is our granddaughter. And yeah. She said something like, this. Yeah, she said something like, we're not going to miss her wedding or something like that. She had some kind of comment about that, and it was really heartbreaking. And when she found out how Rory, in that episode where she went to the shed and she saw where they lived.
That
was just so great.
Yeah, it's, I just love Kelly Bishop. She is so good. And I think, actually, that's a really good point. I think because Richard and Rory obviously have this kind of connection, and you know, he's like getting more comfortable with her, but she obviously really, really loves her grandfather, and that's already evident in this. Mm. I feel like, yeah, maybe Emily doesn't get enough credit for sort of her role in facilitating that, in making that possible for Richard, and kind of smoothing things over when necessary. And yeah, I think that's a really good point. Oh, I just love her so much. I want a Kelly Bishop spin-off where she just like casts aspersions on people and like, you know, yells at the maids for like mixing her cocktail wrong, and then just like bonds with Rory. It'd be so fun. Yeah. Oh, it'd be so good. Okay. Have we gone through all the like key relationships in this? I feel like we have. Were there any other like, I guess, standout characters to you in this season? Was there anyone else you want to talk about?
I mean, Kirk.
You know, always Kirk.
I always want to talk about Kirk.
Oh, Kirk's a short film.
that short film. I think that was like when I sort of I came to truly appreciate the brilliance of Gilmore Girls.
Yeah,
they just put the short film and they just let it go for like 5 minutes. And it was just so fun. I was like, I haven't laughed that much like about the show yet. I thought it was so funny, and it was so perfect, and everything about that just made me laugh. And now every time Kirk comes on the screen, I just laugh, even though he's not saying something funny.
I feel like we should have a segment in these specials that's like our favorite Kirk moment, or yes, like Kirk occupation, because he does like 14 jobs a season or something.
And he's so sad. Like, you get the sense that he has like this really sad life, but he's just so funny.
Yeah, and he's like going to Suki's wedding in the suit because he's trying to meet someone.
Yeah.
He's like, I hear that it's good to, weddings are good places to meet people, which is good because I'm so lonely. And you're like, oh, Kirk. Oh, man. I have to give a shout out to Paris, my girl Paris, who I actually wrote this down because I was like, this might be my favorite line in the entire season, when Paris is talking to Madeline and Louise, and they're kind of doing their like double act of whatever, I don't know. And she's like, I'm sorry, have I ever been mistaken for a patient person? And I was like, Paris is queen of my heart. I love her so much.
Paris is amazing.
Yeah. She's you know, so great. She has improved a lot since season one in terms of her characterization, because I think we talked about this. She was kind of written in, like, the actress auditioned for Rory, I think, and then they kind of wrote in the role of Paris, so they didn't really know where it was going or if it was just going to be... She could have just been kind of like Tristan and sort mm-hmm. of then disappeared or whatever, but her and Rory's relationship is so interesting, and Paris is just such a great character. Like, when she wants Rory to speak faster at the debates, she's like, we have to time your words per minute and all of this stuff. But then she gets the emotional moments as well, you know, when she's like, I'm going to lose this election. And even if I win it, I'm going to lose it because I had to get you on my ballot to win, you know. That's really sad. And she plays it so well, but mostly she's just badass, and I just adore her, even when she's at her just total most ridiculousness.
I think she's one of the best characters in the series, you know. And yeah. I mean, obviously there's a lot of great characters, but the way that they do her and the nuances of her, and the, again, it's a testament to how real this is that she would totally behave like this. Like, we know people that behave. We may have behaved like this in real life. You know, like, it's that sort of over-neurotic, but really she's, like, really shy. And she has that sort of matter-of-fact, like, comments about the way she looks and what she can do. And her sort of, like, saying at one point to Rory, like, but if I look like you, blah, blah, blah. Like it's... And she knows that, like, her book smarts. Like, she basically puts all her stock in that. And I love everything about that, and you're right. It's such an interesting contrast to Rory, too. There's so much personality, like so much inside of Paris as a character, and she's just, you feel so much for her. I really enjoy her character.
Yeah, she's like so self-aware to the point of neurotic, and you get the sense that, you know, Rory, for all of her... raised by a single mother and raised in a small town and whatever, has had a pretty idyllic kind of childhood and family life. And Paris, it seems like it was, even though obviously she comes from a much wealthier family and she has, like, you know, the help at home or whatever, and like her dad's away on business all the time, and, you know, she's kind of had to fend for herself a little more than Rory. And,
was it once she came over to Rory's house and she was like, told her housemaid, she was like, I'm gonna have pancakes, or like whatever the hell it was. That was so cute.
Oh, yeah, she's so, I just love her so much. Okay, so we seem to be doing favorite characters. So yes, I would say Paris for the season, just because I feel like this is the season where you start to really see who Paris is as a character, and that just continues as she's in the show. And obviously Jess, because hashtag Team Jess. So Selena, you've got Kirk, and who else have you got?
Well, I picked Kirk just because I saw you already picked Paris and Jess. And then I actually said just Mia, just because she was in, like, for one episode. And she was so nice, and I really loved her, the owner of the inn.
Yeah.
So that sort of really surprised me, because, you know, you're always expecting these kind of characters to be, like, mean or have some kind of agenda or something, but she was just like 100% nice. And I was like, I'm so glad that Lorelai got to have her. And then I think, you know, just sort of more broadly, I really like Luke this season as well.
Oh yeah.
Just for what, like, we got to see him go through, and when nobody came to his the guy's funeral, and he was looking for a house, and you see his relationship with, or his feelings for Lorelai grow, and how he deals with that, how he deals with Jess. I think there was a lot of great stuff for Luke this year.
Yeah. Okay. And Pam, what about you?
I think I always have a soft spot for Luke. Also, Michelle is just always amazing.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Grumpy. Oh. And like, how does he even keep his job? But he's amazing.
The episode where his mother comes to town. Yes. Oh, my god, she's amazing. I changed my mind. She's my favorite character.
And she's exactly like him, so you understand. Yes.
Do you like this makes sense? Oh no, wait. The moment when what is it? It's like Lane is grounded and Rory has to drop off the CD to her somehow. and she like sets up this whole where Kirk like goes up and asks Mrs. Kim about all of the hours and everything that she can do, and then Michelle like jogs past and drops the CD off, and then he comes back and he's so sweaty. Rory's like, what's wrong? And he's like, I've been jogging around the square for an hour because he didn't know that the time had changed. And you're like, oh, Michelle, you're so ridiculous and also so sweet that you did that. Oh, I laughed so hard at that. I think that was my favorite. Anyway, sorry, Pam, I totally interrupted you.
No, that's okay. I think that that was important. But yeah, Michelle is always like great. I don't know if we talked about him last episode, but I felt like he needed a mention. On top of Michelle and Kirk are like the two weirdest characters in Stars Hollow. But yeah,
I mean, there are some pretty weird people. Like Taylor's pretty weird.
Taylor's just insane.
Taylor and the guy who sets up the like farmer's market opposite his, an aneurysm over it.
That's amazing.
It's good times. I enjoyed the scenes that I think we've said. I really enjoy the Stars Hollow, like, A, the weird festivals that they always celebrate and like these weird celebrations and holidays they have, and also the town hall meetings. They are great value. Such good value. Okay, while we're doing favorites, what about our favorite episode of this season? Selena.
Yes. Well, I have the one and then a runner up. These were the ones that sort of that's a good thing about getting some distance, is that you know what you remember and what you don't. The Bracebridge dinner, obviously, I feel like that's a must. I know that that's sort of, I feel like that comes, like it must be a lot of people's favorite, because it is kind of like a bottle episode where they're all stuck at the inn, and we have those scenes of them riding around in the carriages. Like, it's just, it's very iconic. And we get a lot of sort of character moments that we wouldn't otherwise have got. So I love the Bracebridge dinner. And I also really enjoyed the one I talked about earlier, which was Road Trip to Harvard, where obviously Lorelai and Rory go to visit Harvard, because I thought that was a really fun excursion for the show. And we had some good moments between the two of them. And we had some good moments for Lorelai in particular. So yeah, I guess those two.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like the Bracebridge dinner. I love in that Harvard episode when Rory's just like drops everything and they just go. It's so sweet.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about their relationship, but I mean, I guess it kind of just goes through all of everything that we talked about. Pam, what about you?
So I picked Like Mother, Like Daughter, and I love this episode. This is the one where the headmaster, Charleston, just decides that Rory needs to make more friends, like him and the guidance counselor are in cahoots. So instead of, like, getting to read at lunch, like, she has to be more involved. And then she stumbles upon the secret puff society, which is amazing. And then Lorelai has to join the boosters because Rory has to socialize too, so like they both end up having to socialize. But then the best part is, of course, when Lorelai puts together that mother-daughter fashion show, and her and Emily are like jamming out to Girls Just Want to Have Fun on the Runway, and it's like, it's such a fun episode, and I thought it was really great. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Oh yeah, that's a good pick. I like that a lot. Actually, you know what, so many of season two, I feel like season two is just such a strong season. I don't know how you guys felt, but so, like when I was trying to pick this, because I watched it probably the most recently, I'm going to say, because I don't have that distance yet. I was like, I want all of them. But I went for Atisket because it has, yeah, my like obscure Stars Hollow holidays. In this case, it's like the charity picnic auction thing where you bid on someone else's basket and you don't know whose it is, and then you have to have a date with them. Of course, there's the inevitable drama with Jess and Dean and Rory, but then there's also that whole thing with, like, Jackson won't bid on Suki's basket, and she thinks they're going to break up, and then I think, like, Kirk gets it, and then Lorelai is trying to be set up with all of these, like, suitors from Miss Patty, and she has to get Luke to come and bid on her so she doesn't have to go on this, like, awkward blind date. Just so much. I really love those Stars Hollow apps. So,
was that the episode? Yeah. No, that was the follow-up to that episode where Luke pushed Jess in the lake. That was the best thing to ever happen on TV.
That gif is, like, just one of the great gifts of Gilmore Girls.
I was so out of nowhere. Like, I just, because, you know, like, I'll do other stuff while watching the show, so I'll be like cooking or whatever, and I was like watching it, and then they were walking. I was like, oh my god, it's so sad. And then like boom, I had to stop and rewind and just watch it 5 times because it was so funny.
Yes, that's a pretty good representation of their relationship, I feel.
Yeah. And he just keeps talking about it, like, oh, I'm sorry, like I'm doing right now. But like, Jess, I love that his reaction, because you could tell like he was genuinely impressed. Like, that was like, in a love story, that's when he would have like fallen in love with, you know, because it's like in family, you can say, like, familiar love with, because he was like, oh my god, this guy like cares enough to push me in a lake.
Yeah,
like, no one's ever done that for me before. I feel like that's what bonds the two of them, like that moment, and it's so appropriate to who they are. I think it was so great.
Yeah, that's true. And they're both kind of the outsiders in the town as well. Like, Luke doesn't really like any of that town stuff, which is the same thing that Jess doesn't like. Luke's just a bit better about kind of dealing with it, versus Jess is like, I don't know, how can I make this just worse for everyone? Okay, so I mean, I feel like we kind of talked about the stuff you didn't like. We talked about Christopher, and was there anything else that you didn't love about this season that you wanted to mention before we do some big questions?
Not really, not really. I think it was, like you said, it was a really, really solid season, and I was like very, I was very entertained through most of it. I think maybe I was slightly more entertained by season one just because it was all new and stuff. But I think the only thing that I sort of noticed beside Richard and Christopher was the like, I feel like it's taken them a while to figure out what to do with Lane, and the whole thing of her like going to Korea and then coming back.
Oh god,
like, that was so weird.
With the suitcase that's like the size of 15 people.
I know, like, and her relationship with her mom, and I'm like, where are they going with this? But I feel like now with like you have in the doc, like, the most important relationship is Lane and the drums. she discovers the drums, and we see her begin to rehearse, and I feel like that's a good marker for her having some kind of life outside of her friendship with Rory. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, also, we have to mention that Carol King, who's
the
shop owner, which is amazing.
Yeah, who does the Gilmore Girls music, obviously. So
not the la 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 la's, like the actual. No.
the hated la la's.
Selena, have they gotten better?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it that they're sort of like expanding their music library.
I think that's what I said. They use some different stuff now. Okay. I would agree with that. I love Lane a lot. I really like her friendship with Rory, but I will be excited to see her have a plotline that is not to do with either hiding. Well, I mean, I guess it is, but not to do with just like her relationship with her mother or her trying to have a secret relationship, you know, like we saw all that stuff with Henry and her trying to kind of do that. Actually, and I think that was the episode I picked where they break up because he's like, I cannot deal with this, you are too crazy, which was sad, but it's nice for her to have a thing for her, so that's good.
Yes.
Okay, so some big questions of the season. I can't remember what we asked last time, so I guess I just made up some new ones. by the end of the season, end of season two, who are we shipping Lorelai with, if anyone, by the end?
I don't know. I feel like this is... I feel like I always ship her with Luke. Like,
yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Selena, anyone? Are you feeling
the Luke thing yet? Oh, yeah. I've felt Luke? The Luke thing for so long. I'm like... This is gonna piss me off, guys. I'm not gonna get together until season 7. I know it. But like, I Luke 100%, and I'm very frustrated by how they sort of keep it alive but always regress. I feel like it's a little bit of regression with the two of them, but I really enjoy the glimmers of them that we do get, and I also kind of do ship Lorelai with herself, because I feel like she puts so much stock in finding a guy, and obviously that's fine. Like, she says at one point, she's like, you know what, I do want to have have it all, you know, quote unquote, lean in and have it all. And she does want that relationship, and I think that's fine. I don't think, you know, you have to be alone to be independent and to be strong and all of that stuff. But I do feel like she does, she, like with what's his face, Max, she was looking for a husband, you know, and she was like willing to overlook all of the faults and all of the problems because she wanted to get married. And at the last minute, she was like, oh crap, I don't want to get married. And I feel like it's important for her to sort of, I know she's been by herself, like it's not that she hasn't, but it's just her happiness shouldn't be contingent on finding a guy. And I kind of feel like as well, that's what they're going for with Luke, because she's looking for someone who's quote-unquote husband material, whether it's Max or it's Christopher. And, you know, and Luke probably doesn't fit in that image for her. That's probably one of the reasons she's so hesitant to go there with him. So that's my answer.
I mean, I still ship Christopher. Like, I can't help it. I don't think it's a good relationship.
Can't help what
I
you
just,
ship.
I just that's buy just, it the most. Mm. You know, I just think of all of what we have seen so far, like, they make the most sense to me as a couple. And they have the most chemistry, I think.
I don't see the chemistry between them, and that certainly has a lot to do with it, just in shipping in general. It's really about where you sense the tension, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I definitely sense it between Luke and Lorelai. And,
I do see it there, but, like, yeah, I can't help it. This is a very unpopular ship. Like, very.
Yeah, but ship, you know, what you want.
Yeah.
No, ship a lot, so whatever you ship,
that's
you
true,
just go
actually.
For it.
It's true. I'll be interested to hear what people think. You can yell at us on Twitter. I mean, who do we ship Rory with? Do we even need to ask this question? Like, on the count of three, it's obviously Jess. It's Jess.
Obviously.
It's obviously Jess.
Yeah, for sure.
Poor Dean.
Yeah, I feel so bad for him.
He does improve this. You know, he does improve this season. Like, he loses some of those things that were really annoying in season one. But at the same time, like, don't call someone 25 times a day, Dean. That's
See,
weird.
I don't think that's an improvement. I think he loses everything that could potentially make him interesting. And now he's literally just a roadblock on the way to Jess and
Rory. You think so?
Yeah, and like the whole thing, him getting super possessive and calling her all the time and being like following her around, and Rory as well being like, no, I'm going to be with Dean forever and ever and ever and ever. And there's like zero reason for them to be together at this point. It just makes me feel bad for him.
It's kind of sad. I just thought that was sad. Like, when he's sitting on the doorstep and they get home and like he's been waiting for Rory, obviously, and she's off with Lane or Jess or whatever, and he's like, well, she likes Jess. And I was like, oh, Dean, don't make me feel bad for you. Like, I don't want to have any emotional reaction to you. So
I just want him to go and fight, you know, demons with his brother and go away.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. He needs to graduate to the next level.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, speaking of that, so Selena, tell us, after you've seen season two, when, assuming that they do get together, Rory and Jess, when do you think this is going to happen?
Oh, Rory and Jess. Well, they kind of, I mean, they kissed already in the finale. We didn't really talk about that.
Oh, yeah, we didn't.
She kissed
him. Is that it? Do you reckon that's it?
No.
Her and Dean are done now?
I don't think we have to wait too long, and it's partly because I have a feeling now that we're going to have to wait a long time for Luke and Lorelai. So I think with Jess Jess and Rory, they're gonna like stumble a bit, and she still has to figure out what to do about Dean. But I feel like they're pretty early in season three. They're gonna get together, like maybe episode 5 or 6 or something like that.
Okay, and what about Luke and Lorelai? When are you predicting that will eventuate, if it does?
The Netflix revival.
So 2016.
I had so much hope that they would go there early on, like it would be like a Ross and Rachel situation, and then
I think you thought it was gonna be this season, right?
I did.
Yeah.
But I did. Okay, I'm gonna say season 5.
Okay,
maybe 4. The end of season 4. That's my prediction.
All right. Okay. Is there anything else we want you to predict? Pam, can you think of anything? We probably should have thought about this earlier, but look, we do this stuff on the fly, guys.
That's a good question. I feel like everything I'm going to think of is going to give something away.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the only problem.
We're trying hard not to spoil you. Are we doing well?
Oh, you're doing so well. Like, I don't feel spoiled at all.
I was going to say she didn't even know that Luke and Jess were related.
So true.
I'm very good at avoiding spoilers when I have to, but I will say those revival pictures just keep like effing me up. Like when I think I'm avoiding spoilers and then some picture in a headline is like, oh, here's something that you definitely didn't know yet. And I'm like, oh man. So nothing major, I don't think, but definitely some things. Oh, I want to know though, like from you guys and especially from Pam, because you haven't really said that much. Just what kind of things you sort of like you had in the dark, like what you noticed, and if there was anything new this time that you felt differently about or anything.
Yeah, I would be interested. I mean, I feel like I basically covered it. Mostly for me, it's mostly Emily. I think I think it's mostly just like a different perspective and looking at the three of them. Oh, something we didn't talk about that I did like in this season was we start to see a couple moments where Rory sort of tries to sort of out parent her parent, like when they have the termites and she goes to Emily for money, or like she mentions it to Emily because she wants to get money, and Lorelai's like, look, I'm in charge here, like you don't get to make this decision. And I kind of forgot about that. I like totally forgot about that whole plot line when rewatching it, so I was like, oh, I didn't realize that this happened. But also I appreciate those moments now watching it where, you know, Lorelai does recognize Rory kind of stepping over the line in terms of, yes, they're best friends, but also there are sometimes when like she is the mother, and obviously it's a little more complicated probably than for other people because they're so close. But those moments definitely stood out to me in this compared to, I guess, what I remembered of the earlier seasons. But yeah, Pam, you've been so quiet. What did you think?
I feel like I've been talking the whole time. That's so weird. I think that I brought up the biggest thing that I noticed in the rewatch, which is just that Dean is not, it's not cute that he's so jealous. It actually just kind of is terrible. I think also just the deeper dive into, you know, Lorelai and the fact that, like, you know, like when you're younger, again, if you don't have a cool mom, like I just had a mom, you think, oh, Lorelai's a cool mom. And then when you get older, you realize that she's got her flaws too. And I think that that's way more apparent when you watch the show as you're a little bit older.
So true. Okay. Should we do feedback?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you want to get in touch with us, we are on Twitter at HyperbuleHype, or you can email us hype@hyperbule.com. Make sure to put the season that you're talking about in the subject line so that Selena does not accidentally get spoiled. We appreciate that a lot. Or you can leave a comment on this post on highball.com, and we would ask, please, if you do that, to keep the comments spoiler free. If you want to send us thoughts for a future season, that's totally fine, but do those through email, just because yay, Selena is trying to do this and it's sort of working. So some people that have been in touch on Twitter, let's see, Marie says, in response to what you want us to talk about this week, I feel like we've done this. Team Jess is the only thought that matters. I recently listened to an interview Milo did and he's still so dreamy. So that's totally just worth everyone recognizing. And Emmy Foss says, so much excitement for our upcoming special. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We also had some emails. Thank you guys so much for sending these in. These were like very long, so we're not going to read all of them. We've just taken some sections. But I'll take this first one. This is from Stephanie Merrill, who says, hey, Hype Girls, I actually disagree with you on one thing. I hate Emily Gilmore. Someone said they saw Emily as a two steps forward, one step back kind of character, but I view it more like one step forward, five steps back. Every time it seems like her and Lorelai could finally put everything on the table and get to have a genuine moment, Emily regresses and emotionally slaps Lorelai in the face. If she could just pull her head out of her you-know-where. Thanks for censoring this for us to read. And get over her need to keep up appearances, she could probably have a good relationship with her daughter, and watching her throw away that chance over and over is unbelievably frustrating. I don't blame Lorelai in the slightest for preventing a relationship between Rory and her grandparents, because in my opinion, Emily is toxic. And she has some really good thoughts also about like that whole home situation and her own experiences. Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think? I feel like pride has so much to do with this. Like all of the Gilmores have so much pride and are so stubborn. And you kind of feel like if you could just sit them down and get them to talk things through, actually, like Stephanie says, it would probably be at least more manageable than how they've made it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have another Stephanie. Selena, do you want to grab that one?
Yep. Stephanie Williams says, "Dear Hype Girls, when I was a kid, my mom and I always lived with family or friends because that's how life works as a single parent. But when I turned 8, we finally moved out on our own. It was a huge step for both of us. A few years later, Gilmore Girls premiered, and I remember thinking, this is my life. It was the first show Mom and I started watching together because the characters were so real. Unlike the show, Mom and I fought all the time, but what I love about Gilmore Girls is its ability to portray a mother-daughter relationship. It's hard being a mom, having to play both parents. It's hard being a kid, not having anyone to talk to when you're fighting. But it's the best kind of dysfunctional family because she's my best friend and I'm her world. I agree with Pam. Gilmore Girls is my all-time favorite show. So thank you for the special episodes and I can't wait for the next ones! !3
Yeah.
It was such a great story. I feel like so many people have personal stories for Gilmore Girls. Like the relationship between Lorelai and Rory and everything that comes with it, like you might not have exactly the same, but that sort of single mom daughter dynamic is so universal, and a lot of us sort of feel like we share that with them, and that sort of makes the show even more special, you know?
Yeah. And in that email from Stephanie number one, I think she was also talking about her relationship and sort of how that colors her experiences as well. So I feel like something about the, like, it's a low stakes, it's a high stakes, low stakes kind of show. Like, everything seems such high stakes because it's so small and tiny things happening and they become huge deals. And because of that, there's a lot for you to kind of latch onto and identify with. And like we've kind of talked about this whole special, it's so realistic. Like, so much of what happens is frustrating or it's annoying, but it doesn't ever feel like over the top. It definitely feels like the way people would respond in these kinds of situations, and I feel like that adds a lot to these kind of biographical kind of like emotional reactions people have, you know? Like, I mean, we have all described something on this show that's like, so anyway, this thing in my life and how it relates to Gilmore Girls. So people totally have that. Yeah, it's really interesting to hear what people say.
It reminds me so much of Buffy in that way. Like, it connects with Selena. Me in the same way that Buffy does. No, what?
That's good. I like that you mentioned Buffy. It's good. I'm glad it comes up in every conversation, just to reiterate.
I'm sorry I keep bringing it up, but I feel like there's such a connection between the two shows. Like, they're written in the same sort of very, the characters are very real, they're very flawed, they're very layered, they're very sort of hard to like sometimes, but that doesn't mean that they're not great characters. And I get the sense that this, I'm stepping into a real world, and I don't get that a lot in TV shows, so... comparing it to that is just my highest form of praise.
I know. We're very lucky. Okay, and we have one from Raven, but I've cut out some of the spoilers, Raven, because you don't want to tell Selena. But Pam, do you want to grab that one?
Sure. Raven says, "Hey, Hype, I like all the boyfriends, but I'm totally team Dean. Season one, Dean was smart and witty and loved movies and knew how to build a car from spare parts." This is very true, you guys. "Just because he didn't like to breathe like Rory didn't mean he wasn't smart. If the writers had let him have more of a fleshed out character, I think it would have been more interesting. He could have at least had a backstory, but I think the writers dumbed Dean down when Jess came along to make Jess more attractive. Their focus was obviously on the Rory-Jess ship. Not saying Rory and Dean should have been together forever, but they were good together. Anyway, you can tell that he was Lorelai's favorite."
That's true. That's true. I mean, yeah, I think Dean does suffer a little from the writers who, like you said, Selena, he is kind of an obstacle at this point. And not that, like, he still has his emotional moments, but it does feel like Jess is getting more of the development time. Like, Dean just kind of pops up every so often. I mean, he goes away and then comes back.
It's like they've already written him out of the show. you know.
Well, Gilmore Girls does suffer from that thing of characters just sort of disappearing for a while, and I wonder what their original filming schedule was like, because it seems like there are so many characters on this show that maybe were only signed on for a certain number of episodes or something, because they just kind of pop up and then they go away and then you don't hear anything about them, and then they come back and then everything's either totally different or everything's like the same, you know, and it's just, oh, okay, this is what's happening now. So I feel like Dean kind of suffered a little from that, definitely. And he did build a car, that's true. Like, that's impressive.
That's what you look for.
I mean, that's it. That's an impressive skill, regardless of if, like, you want to date him or so not.
I know, I will, that's true. But it's just like the whole, the show, like the characters in the show are like trying to push Rory to Dean just because he's so good for her and safe and like no regard for the fact that she's a 13-year-old girl and she probably isn't looking for safe, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, and Jess is so dreamy. So
oh my gosh, like, yes.
Oh my god. Like,
that magic.
Yeah, it was just like wrote me a note in my homework and he was just like so, so dreamy. Anyway.
Do you have Valley Girls in Australia? That was very uncanny.
Yeah, it's good, right? I have many talents. Okay, and now one last email. This is from Kate, who says, I finally got the chance to rewatch Gilmore Girls season one and listen to your corresponding episode. I forgot how much I love Gilmore Girls and how much I wish I could live in a town like Stars Hollow. You and me both, Kate. I also forgot how awesome Luke is. Shame on me, I know. This is what I get for not rewatching it since it first aired. My friend actually rewatches the show anytime she's feeling homesick, whether it was moving to the UK or moving in with her boyfriend. I like that. Just anytime you're around, just watch it. And then Kate also sent us an awesome fandom dream. Remember we used to get these on Hype?
I know.
And it's like Buffy meets Gilmore Girls. So that's a good one for Selena to enjoy. Okay, so if you want to send us your feedback, like all these people have done, you can email us or you can tweet us or you can leave us a comment. Let us know what you thought about season two. Let us know what you're thinking about season three. We will do that soon at some point. We can promise that we will do all of the seasons. I'm confident in making that promise. The time frame is a little more up in the air, but as I was the person who held this one up, I will try and be a little faster on watching it because Selena races through it, understandably.
I do. Well, not this time because now we've got exams and we've got all the like stuff going on in the summer. But yeah, we'll try. True. Do we have any? Like, I feel like there was a hint of a release date for the revival at one point.
Was there?
Do we have one?
I just assumed that if they were going to start the show since it correlates with seasons, that they would start with, you know, fall, like in fall. Doesn't it start with fall?
I don't think it's going to be sooner.
I thought we had actually, wasn't it like the end of the year or something?
Mm-hmm.
I feel
they're
like it was.
They're still filming, so.
They're saying pre-Christmas, so that's specific.
That could be like any time between tomorrow and December 23rd.
I'm not gonna like alarm you guys, but we have to do like pretty much one a month from now on to make it.
Okay, we can do that. It's fine.
Totally do that.
Anyway, like some of us aren't going to Comic-Con this year, so some of us will have plenty of free time and the tables will be turned and I'll be the one who's like, hey guys, when are we going to record? Hey guys, watch the episodes. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, just because you're in Australia doesn't mean you can't record a podcast. Not that I use that as an excuse, except sometimes. Okay, this seems like a good place to wrap it up. Was there anything else anyone want to talk about season two? Speak now or forever hold your peace?
Nope, nothing. I like it.
I'm glad to hear.
Good, that, well-rounded season.
I'm glad that the magic has stayed there. Okay, so we will be back with, of course, our regularly scheduled Hype podcasts every week, and then we'll be back with The Hype Girls Do Gilmore Girls Season 3 as soon as we can, but we will let you know on Twitter when that is happening so that you'll have plenty of time to send in your feedback. But, you know, it's always good to do it in advance. You don't want to miss out. Better be safe than sorry. So send that through to us, and we will get on organizing that. And that's it. The end. Goodbye.
Hey,
I feel like we should sing some do-do-do-do's. Do-do-do-do.